Hello, everyone.
Hola a todos.
This is Jahaira.
And this is Stephanie.
Yes, the episode is going to be a Halloween special.
You know, we do love Halloween, which is another reason why we launched in October.
Honestly, October is just a fun month.
Yeah.
We're big fans of spooky season, but we do want to make a disclaimer. These episodes are on a different level. They should not be glorified, but rather taken seriously, because these are real life events and we can only learn from them.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's a really good point. And if we do call it a special, it's because we are doing a two-part for one case.
Este episode va a tener dos partes for, like we said, the Halloween special. También este caso es muy famoso. Hay libros, películas, todo sobre este caso. But we wanted to cover it porque no todos en nuestra comunidad saben de este caso. Believe it or not, I didn't know about this case until a few months back.
Same, I didn't know it too well either, so we wanted to cover it. And so today we will be diving into the Zodiac Killer. It isn't a missing or one murder case, but a serial killer one. Uno de los más famosos asesinos de los años 60s a los 70s, aquí en la área de San Francisco y Vallejo. Él mismo se dio su nombre, el Zodiac Killer.
It makes it 10 times scarier just knowing this happened right here in our area. And ya sé que pasó hace mucho tiempo, pero todavía queríamos contarles la historia del Zodiac Killer y cómo fue que aterrorizó a San Francisco y Vallejo.
And before we jump into the episode, we want to state a trigger warning because we will be talking about sensitive topics. Queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
And topics such as violent murders.
También queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. And let's jump in. Let's take it back to year 1968. On December 20th, in Benicia, California, was the first of many killings that the Zodiac Killer would commit. David Faraday, de 17 años, and Betty Lou Jensen, de 16 años, salieron a pasarla juntos. Ellos estaban en un lover's lane, como un área para estacionar el carro y tener un nice view and to just chill. Algo que todavía es muy común hoy en día, and today we just like to call it, I know a spot, and it's a really nice view.
Yeah, definitely heard that. I thought it was just a thing our generation did, but even then people still parked up at views. But imagine, estás en una cita, cuando de repente you see a man coming at you, shooting you and your date. That must be really scary. Este hombre disparó con la intención que se salieran del carro. Betty Lou salió primero y David salió enseguida. David lo dispararon en el momento que salió del carro, but a Betty Lou la disparó cuando ella estaba corriendo. Unfortunately, Betty Lou and David did not make it. When police heard about this tragic incident, the last thought on their mind was that this was the work of a serial killer.
I feel like a serial killer is probably not something someone first thinks of. And when investigating, police questioned a few suspects, such as Betty Lou's ex-boyfriend, pero todo estaba bien con él. Nadie tenía explicación por lo que les había pasado a estos dos jóvenes.
Yeah, las familias de Betty Lou y David no tenían ni idea, like, de quién podría hacer esto. The whole community was shocked.
Yeah, the families had no idea. Era la primera vez que dejaron a Betty salir a una cita. Mm-hmm. And we all know that it's a big step for both her and her family.
It's a very big step.
Yeah. So, esto fue algo que nadie lo esperaba.
En este momento, la imagen del Zodiac Killer todavía no existía. But 7 months later, things would start to take a turn for the worst. El 4 de junio del año 1969, otro ataque pasó en Vallejo, California. Darlene Ferrin, de 22, y Mike McGuay, de 19, and also just a quick disclaimer, if I butcher anyone's name, I'm so sorry, Pero, yeah, Darlene and Mike también fueron balaceados varias veces.
Este caso era muy similar al de David and Betty Lou, the one we mentioned first. And so Darlene and Mike were parked in front of Blue Rock Springs Golf Club, again, when they were all of a sudden were shot at. But in this case, Mike survived.
Yeah, they were in a secluded area with no witnesses around.
Darlene was shot 5 times and Mike was shot 4 times, and there were no signs of robbery.
Los dos estaban estacionados igual que Betty Lou and David, you know, just enjoying a nice view, cuando un coche se estacionó atrás del carro de ellos. Los dos jóvenes pensaban que era una policía, porque la persona que salió del carro traía a big, big, bright flashlight, and that's when the man shot fire and then went back to his car.
Esta persona regresó por un instante para disparar más. Y aquí fue cuando Mike pudo verlo un poco. Dijo que era un hombre güero entre 20 a 30 años. He was 5'8", 5'9", with brown hair.
Luckily, Mike was able to pull through. I believe I read somewhere that he only suffered wounds to his jaw, shoulder, and leg. But after this tragedy, the police received a call. And this is where things get really interesting. La persona que les llamó dijo que él había matado esos dos jóvenes. And along with that, he also said, and I quote, "I also killed those kids last year." Y se refería a David y Betty Lou.
Police never expected anything like that. I mean, phone calls where the person is confessing.
Yeah, so the police began to look into possible suspects and they noted that Darlene was married. So, investigaron a su esposo Dean, pero él estaba trabajando como cocinero en un restaurante la noche que esto pasó. Entonces, él no pudo haber hecho este crimen.
También se fijaron en el ex marido de Darlene, James Phillips Crabtree, but soon he was ruled out too.
So far, the police had not found any motives for these past two crimes and why these specific individuals were targeted. And now on top of that, they have the person responsible for these crimes giving them phone calls. Después de esta llamada, la policía knew que esto iba en serio. Estas matanzas eran como un juego para la persona atrás del teléfono. And that's all they knew for now, you know?
Yeah. En ese momento, la policía todavía no sabía con qué se estaban enfrentando. It wasn't until July 31st that this killer sent out a letter to 3 newspaper locations. He sent it out to the San Francisco Examiner, the San Francisco Chronicle, and Vallejo Times.
I will read one of the 3 letters. I believe this one was sent to the SF Chronicles. And again, this is all quoted. This is exactly what the note said. So he wrote this to the San Francisco Chronicle, and it says, "Dear editor, this is the murderer of the 2 teenagers last Christmas at Lake Herman and the girl on the 4th of July near the golf course in Vallejo. To prove I killed them, I shall state some facts which only I and the police know. Christmas, brand name of Anmo Super X, 10 shots were fired. The boy was on his back with his feet to the car. The girl was on her right side, feet to the west. 4th July. Girl was wearing patterned slacks. The boy was also shot in the knee. Brand name of animal was Western." And it also reads, "Here is part of a cipher. The other 2 parts of the cipher are being mailed to the editors of the Vallejo Times and the SF Examiner. I want you to print the cipher on the front page of your paper. In this cipher is my identity. If you do not print the cipher by the afternoon of Friday, 1st of August, 69, I will go on a kill rampage, Friday night. I will cruise around all weekend killing lone people in the night, then move on to kill again, until I end up with a dozen people over the weekend."
Honestly, I get the same creepy feeling every time I read the letter. And this isn't the only one he wrote. He wrote more, and they're all online.
Yeah, the fact that there's like a whole, I don't know if you can even say collection of his letters.
Like a library?
Yeah, like a library. Like the fact that there's just so many letters that he wrote. Every single one gives me that creepy feeling too, Steph.
In his letters, he included a cipher. This was like a code made up of symbols that they had to crack in order to get to know his identity.
As his note said, he was threatening the police to publish his cipher on the front page or else he would go on a killing rampage.
Publishing was something that all three newspaper locations debated, but all ended up publishing the next day, just as the killer wanted.
And on August 7th, he sent another letter to the San Francisco Examiner, and in this letter, he referred to himself as the Zodiac. And again, he included another cipher.
That note still left a lot of questions. ¿Quién era esta persona? ¿Y cuáles eran sus motivos?
And on August 8th, they decoded the cipher that was included with the second letter.
In this letter, he explains why he is killing. Dice que está matando para que sus víctimas puedan ser sus esclavos en el otro mundo.
Yeah, and this brought a lot of questions of whether he was like a Satanist. People started having like a bunch of theories that we'll go into later. Regardless, that's still scary to decode and learn what these ciphers really meant. I can't even like imagine how the newspaper and police stations were like.
It must have been complete chaos. Like, as police, how do you protect your community from a monster that has no face?
Yeah, like, no face, but yet whoever this person was definitely making himself known.
Yeah, he was creating a reputation, and it was scaring the community.
There is no doubt that the community was scared. Muchas personas tenían más precauciones, y también muchos ya no salían de tarde.
Yeah, I certainly would not feel comfortable being alone, or in this case, even with a friend, especially after hours.
I know, it's like, there's, like, literally the saying, there's a killer on the loose, like, was, this is what it was. Yeah. And that's so scary. And he was definitely not planning on stopping anytime soon. Pero tres meses después, el 27 de septiembre del 1969, Cecilia Shepherd, de 22 años, y Brian Hartnell, de 20 años, were enjoying a nice picnic at Lake Berryessa, which is located here in Napa County. Un hombre con una hoodie puesta se arrimó hacia ellos, y la hoodie que el hombre traía tenía un símbolo.
Yeah, the man's hood had a symbol, and it's, you know, a circle with two intersecting lines. Se ve como a little bit medieval style.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of like weird to look at. It's like this was his trademark. I mean, I don't know if that's the right word to use, but he was definitely trying to associate this mark with himself and his actions. And so as he approached Cecilia and Brian, he threatened them with a gun, tied them both up, and stabbed both of them. Esta vez, though, no los balació como los otros dos casos. Instead, en este caso, he did something that till this day leaves a lot of questions. During the assault, he made up a whole story to Cecilia and Brian.
He made them believe they had hope. Cuando él se acercó con la pistola, él les dijo que se estaba escapando de la cárcel y que nomás quería su carro para poder escapar. Cecilia y Brian pensaron que era mejor cooperar para que no salieran lastimados. And the Zodiac made Cecilia tie up Brian. And then he himself tied up Cecilia. However, once tied up, he began to stab them. Cecilia no logró sobrevivir, pero Brian, a pesar que fue apuñalado 8 veces, se recuperó y él pudo explicar lo que pasó.
Brian pretended like he was dead, which is ultimately the reason why he's alive today. And I think that's, like, I don't want to say, like, a helpful tip, but that is just something to, like, keep in mind in case you find yourself ever being attacked. Like, I don't know, I hate to say it, but, you know, it could always help someone. Me interesa saber por qué esta matanza fue muy diferente from his past ones.
La verdad no sé. And there's a really good podcast that is a 15-episode long segment on the Zodiac. It's called Monster, the Zodiac Killer, and they mentioned how maybe he wanted to take his time with the killing, and so that's why he decided to tie and stab Cecilia and Brian, and maybe shooting them was just too fast for him, and he wanted to try something new and just, you know, switch up his pattern.
I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense, right? Esto todo era como un juego para él. I don't know, just a thought. But it could make sense that he wanted to take his time porque otra vez le llamó a la policía. Y cuando él habló, les dijo que él no tuvo prisa en irse de ese lugar. He even took the time to spray paint his symbol on their car and write down all the dates in which he had killed.
Since Brian sobrevivió, he was able to tell what happened. But he didn't have a good description of his attacker since he was covered up with a hood. But he was able to say that this man was about 5'8", 5'9", and about 200 pounds.
Yeah, that's about all that Brian could tell police because otra vez su gorra le estaba cubriendo su cara, so he didn't really get a good glimpse at it. But there was a detail that I heard somewhere. I think it was also from the podcast that we mentioned earlier. Que ese día en la lake, varias personas vieron a un hombre medio sospechoso. Había un grupo de muchachas y un papá con su hijo que también dieron sus testimonios y ellos dijeron que cacharon a un hombre viéndolos, like, from a distance, kind of like spying on them. So,
yeah, that's so scary. Like, we need to be alert about our surroundings because we never know who's really, like, you know, looking at us.
Yeah, it gives me creeps just to think about it.
Yeah. And so there were a lot of questions about whether he was choosing his victims, but we never knew the true motive of this. And on October 11th, 1969, the Zodiac struck again, and this time killing a taxi driver. Pauli Stein was only 29 years old and fue disparado una vez en la cabeza by the Zodiac.
The Zodiac was still terrorizing the Bay Area. Y si quieren saber cómo se termina este caso, aquí los esperamos para la otra semana. Y acuérdense que caras vemos, corazones no sabemos. It doesn't matter if you're in a city, if you're in a country, please, please always stay alert. And thank you again for listening to this week's episode.